I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Radio 830 WCCO, 808 and change. It's the most wonderful time of the year for people in small-town ballparks around Minnesota as they approach the state amateur baseball tournament. Shakopee and New Prague, it will commence. Dave Hartman is not only on the state board, but he's also a member of the State Hall of Fame class of 2018. Congratulations again on that, Dave. Since I last talked to you, I've learned who else is in there. By golly, Goose Hess and Randy Heidemann and Bruce Rosno. It's a class that obviously I'm familiar with because a lot of it comes from that southern Minnesota area, but it's a very good class.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mike. It's just a great honor and to be included with that group of guys, that especially all four or the four of the five guys going in are from the old Errol Wilson League.
Yeah, you played against them all.
Played against all of them, exactly. Yeah. So,
Randy Heidemann could hit the ball a long ways, couldn't he?
He sure could. He was a heck of a player, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, David, here we go. Game on starting this weekend. How's it playing out right now? How the ballpark's looking? It looks like we're going to have some hot weather to kick it off, which is just fine. But how are we looking going into weekend one?
I'll tell you, the three parks this year, Shakopee and New Prague and Jordan, are just in unbelievably great shape. These guys have worked so hard. They've allowed their fields to, as an example, New Prague hasn't had a game at their park since July 1. And Jordan, you know, had a number of games up until that time, but they're in Shakopee. They're just outstanding playing surfaces. If the fans, they're in great proximity to the metro area to get out to games. And I would encourage everybody to get out there, as well as Class A has their tournament going on as we speak. And just a lot of great baseball going on around the Twin City area right now.
Is Class A at Parade, or where is it?
That's at Haddock Field in Bloomington.
Oh, sure. That's where the tournament is, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Explain now. The third site is Jordan, and you've added
Correct.
That third site over the last few years, and that's worked out pretty well.
It has. It's right now they have about 11 or 12 games that are going to be played over the three weekends. The predominant time that they have eight games this weekend. They at Jordan, they have the Class B group, and it's and then they're available the rest of the time if we need them for if we have rainouts or anything like that. So hopefully we don't have a lot of rain, but you never know this time of the year. And we've got just three top-notch ballparks that will be a treat for the players to play in, as well as the fans. They're great sight lines, great places to watch games, and as I said earlier, the playing surfaces are just in superb condition.
When I think of Jordan, I can't help but think of Charlie Larka, who managed that team for a long time, came from out east, and he was a character, and he passed away a few years back, but he was one of those institutions of baseball, wasn't he?
He was. He's sorely missed. And, you know, Charlie was just a great guy to be around. He had a really magnetic personality and loved baseball and left this world too soon. He missed him a lot.
Yeah, he played and he umpired, I think, just about every night of the week, didn't he?
It's funny you say that. I mean, I can remember even in the winter, he would go down to Florida and umpire down and, you know, in the spring training, college, a lot of college ball down there. And then he'd come back here and He was a pretty good player when he played, but he was a very feisty manager, and went back down and always had great stories to tell after the game, and that was part of the fun.
Yeah, he umpired us several times, as I'm sure he did you, and then he'd sit around after the game with might have been Tim Steinbach was his partner that night, or Fred Herndon,
Fred
or whoever.
Herndon, right.
He worked with Fred mainly, as I recall, but they'd sit with you as long as you wanted to sit and tell stories.
That's exactly right. I can remember down at Dundas in the tournament, long after the game's over, we're still sitting around listening to the stories that those guys would tell, and they'd have everybody mesmerized and laughing, and just good for baseball.
Now, who are some of the top matchups or top teams coming into this weekend?
Well, I'll tell you, it's both in, I will say right now, in Class B, we've just got an outstanding group of teams. I mean, you've got probably out of the 16 teams that are coming in to play that tournament, I'd say 12 of them are all capable of winning it. You've got teams like Northfield, even a team like Moorhead. They're the number three team coming out of their section. Sauk Rapids and Coldstream. And you've got Meesville is the number two seed, Dundas is the number three seed. So we've got some really, really good teams in Class B that are vying for the title. Meesville's a two-time defending state champ, and they'll be right there. But, they'll have their work cut out for them. The first round, there's always some – everybody's got their number one pitcher going,
yep.
And it could be anybody. Class C – I'll tell you, I believe Sobieski, my understanding, is undefeated.
Whoa.
For the whole season.
That's hard to do.
It really is. They have beaten the Coldstream Springers during the year and went through their playoffs undefeated. So they're probably the front runner in Class C, but not far behind. You've got a team like Plato, who got the two Odegaard brothers.
Sure.
And they picked up a great draft. And
Who'd they get in the draft,
They picked up Pat Cheetah, a left-handed pitcher from Watertown, and then Mac Zacco and
sure.
Cody Hallahan from Greenough. So they've got some excellent, excellent pitching. And they already had, Chris Odegaard and a praying kid and they're set for the they don't play until the next weekend. The winners that came out of the regions in Class C have the weekend off. And sometimes that's a little controversial because some of the teams would like to keep playing when they get a little momentum, but all in all, I think they'd rather be sitting on the sidelines this weekend and ready to get everybody ready and healthy to play for the next two weekends.
Yeah, the thing is, they've been playing and playing and playing all the time, so getting this rhythm. I can't remember, but don't some of those teams play each other in scrimmages or exhibitions just to keep it sharp?
In fact, that's exactly right. I got a call this week. They generally call to let us know. We want to know when they're playing and that. But I believe Jordan is playing Hanska. Both of those teams are winners coming in. So they're off. So they're playing, I believe, tomorrow night. They have a ball game. So, yeah, they want to and they asked, what can their draftees do? And I said, well, the draftees can play. They just can't. All they can do is pitch, but they can't hit.
So it's the same rules.
Exactly.
Wait. Can the draftees hit though? Can pitchers hit in the state tournament or not?
They cannot.
That's another new rule because you eliminated catchers and the pitcher cannot hit, huh?
Well, exactly. We had a lot of teams that wanted to get rid of the draft completely.
Sure.
And we thought, going back many years, a kid plays all year, a catcher.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden they draft a good catcher and the kid doesn't play. And it's allowing the team to not only catch their own player, but they also can DH a
yep.
player in their lineup. So they're using the majority of their own players And then when the pitchers come in, you have to be careful. You got to make sure you DH for that guy, because if his turn comes around in the lineup, they have to pinch hit for him and replace him with another pitcher.
So, the good thing about the draft, though, I always thought was, if you are a good pitcher, it'll keep you from moving and playing for another team, because you can still have a chance to play in the tournament. I always thought that was one of the side benefits. But, of course, the format has changed, whereas now, you know, your first three games, if you play three, you can throw your ace. And so you don't need quite the depth, but you also don't want to get caught, you know, when you're playing four games over the weekend. And that's too much to ask of any team almost, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, we'd like to have a team not be able to use just one pitcher. But, you know, you get to the last weekend, you know, typically, you know, the guy can throw the first weekend, throw their ace the second weekend. Now come the third weekend, if they're going to make a run to win the tournament, they've got to use some strategy and try to look who the matchups are. And sometimes they've got to take a little chance and throw somebody against the team. And I know that happened last year with one of the teams, for example, the Green Owl played. Kimball ended up winning it. They didn't pitch a guy in the game prior to playing Green Owl. They wanted to save their best pitcher.
They took their chances, huh?
And they took a chance, and it worked out for them. And the kid threw a great game against Green Owl, beat them, and all of a sudden they're there in the championship game, and they ended up winning it in an exciting walk-off, a home run with Tom Marquardt's son hitting a game-winning home run in the championship game. So just it's really an exciting time of the year. You know, the weather appears to be cooperative, and hoping to see a lot of people at the ballparks, and it becomes quite frankly, a reunion. With you see a lot of guys coming back to watch games, and I really enjoy that aspect of it as well.
Yeah, you don't know who you're going to run into on a given day, do you?
Exactly, that's right.
Yeah. Who's there have been some amazing pitching performances in the state tournament, and there have been a couple of times where guys have really logged the innings. And I'm trying to think. I've heard – do you recall off the top of your head – I remember watching a game as a kid in Arlington, and Gaylord was going to play the last game of the day, and God darn it, it was Fairfax, I think, was in the state tournament, and they went like 19 innings in the game before, and so Gaylord didn't start playing until about 11 o'clock at night, and I think somebody pitched, maybe it was Denny Roysom, even pitched, you know, like 16 innings or something like that.
I think that's right. I remember that game, and I think they were playing almost till 2-3 in the morning that night. And but a couple of years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, a kid by the name of Tyler Gendro from Sobieski winning and pitched, I think, 45-plus innings for the tournament and won 5 games and just had a remarkable state tournament. He was clearly the MVP, but broke the record for the most innings pitched as well as the number of wins in a tournament. And unfortunately, he was in a bad car accident that following fall, and still is a very, very good pitcher, but probably isn't quite as good as what he once was. But obviously, Sobieski still has a great team, and he's probably, obviously, he's unbeaten with what he's on this year as well. It's some great performances.
Did he keep throwing hard, or is he more a controlled pitcher? How did he get that many innings in?
Well, I think, he had a good curveball. Threw hard enough and he knew how to pitch. He changed speeds and, you know, had great location and just was a real competitor. I mean, that's, I got to give the kid credit. I mean, he wondered if he was going to be able to pitch again after that, but he came back and, you know, he, despite his auto accident, has continued having a great career.
I remember the Odegaard's father, Greg. I don't know how many innings he logged, but he had a couple of those tournaments where, you know, he'd start one game, the next game, whenever there was trouble, he'd come in. And he won the MVP a couple years, didn't he?
Yeah, Odie was a great competitor. For Arlington, not only, you know, he was a good catcher, but he was a good pitcher. He really came into his own when he, you know, he had a great slider that was really his out pitch. And I think there was one of the years, I'm not even sure he gave up an earned run in the tournament.
But, and that's aluminum bats too, right?
Exactly. That was back in, I think, 84 and 85 when he won the back-to-back. Arlington won back-to-back titles, and Greg got the MVP twice in both those years. And he was a formidable player, and now his two sons are real, real good players. And they're leading the charge with the Plato team, who has a very good chance to make a deep run in the tournament this year. But, you know, it's like anything else. You got to get some breaks, and a bad hop here or a bad hop there. Team's season can be over pretty quick.
It sure can. That's what makes it so fun. Hey, Dave, great job on it. Look forward to seeing you out here over the next couple weekends. I hope to get out there, and I'll come over and say hi, but keep up the great work.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having us on and helping us promote the tournament.
You bet, folks. If you love baseball, just head on out to Shakopee or Dupreg or Jordan. Take it in for an afternoon. Enjoy a beverage of choice, as they say, in a brat or a chicken sandwich, and it's a slice of Minnesota for sure. Take a break. Come back. Sports to the Max. Welcome back. Sports to the Max. News Radio 830 WCCO. Twins win today. Complete a sweep over the Pittsburgh Pirates. 6-4 the final of the day. Vikings scrimmage the Jacksonville Jaguars. Earlier today, I asked Mike Zimmer what he hopes to get out of these kind of practices.
You know, at some point, you know, you've been going against yourself for 12 days now or something, and, you know, it starts to get a little bit stale and you get the same routine. I think the intensity level will be up a little bit because guys each other. You know, we're not trying to prove who's the toughest guys, and I'm sure they're not either. But we're going to see different techniques than we've seen. We're going to see different plays, how we react, you know, plays that we haven't prepared for really, and, you know, blitzes we may not be prepared for, and see if our rules hold up to all those things.
And they are. The Vikings defense has been, you know, kind of, in some respects, statistically at least, comparable to Jacksonville's. Zimmer was asked to assess those two.
Well, they're four down front, but they're different defensively. You know, they've, you know, their defense is very similar to Seattle and San Francisco and a lot of the teams that we're going to play this year. Fast, you know, their defensive line, I think, led the league in sacks last year. They were second in the league defensively. You know, they're pretty darn good.
Obviously, a lot of that goes on this time of year when you're trying to play against teams and get ready to play and all those things. But it's fun out of the Vikings right now because they got that complex and they got a buzz and there's just things going on. And they'll do it again tomorrow. I'll be out there tomorrow. Today, obviously, a big part of this for the Vikings, too, is continuing, as much as anything, they want to continue to get acclimated to Kirk Cousins. And Stephon Diggs is a receiver that's trying to do just that, begin to integrate with Kirk Cousins, and this is an ongoing process.
Kirk is just a great quarterback, you know, as far as like his approach to the game and how he comes out each and every day ready to work as a receiver and as me, Adam, Quan, everybody in that room, we pride ourselves in being able to run everything. You want to be able to run everything and do everything as far as like, for the quarterback. So as far as like going deep, going short, whatever you need, let's get it done.
There you go. Take a break. Come back to be 65 and playing in a national tennis tournament. How do they do it and why do they do it? And what could you do if you decide to commit yourself to do it? Stay with us on Sports to the Max. Welcome back, Sports to the Max, 836 and change, News Radio 830 WCCO. I mentioned it earlier, they're playing a national tournament out of Flagship Athletic Club, Lifetime Fitness Athletic Club, used to be known as Flagship at Eden Prairie. Greg Lappin helped create that back in the mid-80s, and he's now tournament director for this tournament. The only qualification is you got to win your way in it, you got to be 65 to 70 years old. He joins us now. Greg, thank you for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
Take me back to 1985. You and Bob Nagle were involved in building that thing. What did you see about in the mid-'80s that indicated to you that this country or this state or that demographic wanted to start getting healthier? Do you remember what went into the thinking at that time? Because we didn't have a lot of health clubs back then.
No, there wasn't a lot. The computers weren't around that much. So there were a lot of more single-purpose athletic clubs like tennis only or racquetball or
sure.
Aerobics had just started. So I was in tennis then. I was a country club pro in the summer and then a tennis pro at the Northwest clubs in the winter. And the idea was to combine the best of the indoor facilities and the best of the country clubs and make kind of a four-season social athletic club and really bring in the most current fitness activities. And it just happened to be the right idea at the right time. We got in just when the athletic boom was starting and the tennis boom was really strong.
And what did you build it with a basketball court, indoor tennis court, swimming pool? Was that there right away?
It was one of the first multi-purpose clubs in the country. Like I said, most were more single purpose. So we started off with racquetball, squash, basketball gyms, tennis. Which was unique was to have a restaurant. It was also unique to have an outdoor pool at that time with an athletic club, as well as with all the fitness. The free weights, the fixed weights, the aerobics. So it was one of the first true multi-purpose clubs in the country, and I think really was the allure, as well as trying to do it in a really high-quality way you'd get from service you'd get in the country club.
Did it take off right away?
Yeah, it took off really well. We were very fortunate. In the athletic club business, in tennis, you take about 100 memberships per court. For tennis only. And so we had 11 indoor tennis courts and we actually sold 1,100 memberships. We sold out in a
really?
Couple of weeks. Yeah, we did. So it was a lot of fun to kind of ride the wave back then. And it was, higher quality back then. We had Whirlpool, steam and sauna and full 7-foot high lockers. So we did some things that were kind of unique. And I think the town was ready for kind of what I call a country club for tennis and fitness people. And that's what Flagship really was back there, and it was a real family. It was a great time in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, the boom hit, huh?
It did, yeah. I mean, people get having more sedentary jobs and the ability to, for a lot of people still, lifting weights and riding a stationary bike is discipline and drudgery. But you play basketball, you play squash, you play tennis. I really believe it's much more, reward and rejuvenation. It's much more fun. So that's what the club was a lot of activities. There was tons of guys who would play, pick up basketball in the morning and the lunchtime, and women would come in for a fun tennis mixer in the evening. And so it was, we tried to make it a real, fun place and make your exercise really be part of your life. And like we said, to make it enjoyable.
Huh. Yeah, it's interesting now because we've taken it for granted and we're so used to it. And now you've got this 65 and over tournament going on there. It speaks for itself in terms of a national tournament. But what is the profile of the person that wants to play tennis and is still so active that they'll travel throughout the country to play in a tournament?
Yeah, there's plenty of recreational players. The players that come in this is the national championship for 65 and over men. And the profile are people who maybe played in the tour when they were young, or even could have picked it up in middle age. Some are teaching pros, some are retired. So it's a wide variety of people. But the United States Tennis Association has a real circuit. So we're the indoor championships. There's a grass court championship and a clay court and an outdoor hard court. So these people will travel to 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 tournaments a year, and they're chasing points. Ranking, and if they get ranked in the top, 4 or 5 in the country, they get to play on a United States team that plays in international competition. And in the United States, for the last several years, has dominated the 65 and over. They've won it. And last year in April, they had the World Games for this age group in Orlando, the new United States Tennis Association 100 court. Facility down there, and the United States team didn't even lose an individual match, let alone a team match. Yeah, so 4 of the 5 guys who are on that team are here playing in the tournament. So it's, you know, it's free to the public. If somebody wants to come out and watch basically, you know, 5 or 10 of the best players in the world in 65 and over, they should come out and watch it. We're playing matches from like tomorrow morning to the quarterfinals that start at 9 o'clock. But these people can still hit the ball well when you're the best in the world.
Yeah, and they stay in shape, and that's one of the first things that you notice when you get out there is you can stay in shape and be 65 or over. I find that to be incredibly motivating when I see them.
Hopefully it is motivating for people. And yeah, we had a draw of about 55 people, and they really weren't probably less than half a dozen, but were, you know, carry some extra pounds. You know, these people have pretty low body fat. And there's been plenty of data that and studies that show that tennis is a sport overall is the best exercise anybody can do.
Well, that's what Danny Zeman says. You know Danny well.
Dr. Dan, the miracle man, Dan Zeman, who you have on the show a lot.
He says that the balance that you got to work on and the moving side to side is the best exercise you can have.
Well, it is. Tennis is like mental chess. So, you know, what shot to hit and when, and if you're beating me, how do I counter that? So the mental aspect to keep you sharp. And in tennis, you're moving in all different planes, forward, backwards, jumping up, sideways. As well, it takes endurance as well as, you know, some quick, you know, sprinting.
And that's that. We conclude I don't know what happened there. I haven't heard that one. Does that mean his phone died?
I think so.
Uh-oh. He may not be reachable. Greg Lappin is our guest. And as you talked about earlier, the 65 foot over tournament out there. But I never thought about the concept because he was telling me the other day that he started in 1985 flagship. Now, Northwest Health Clubs were around. I've heard the story of some of that. They started as tennis clubs. They evolved. And now Lifetime Fitness, just they have everything. They have everything out there, everything that you want, nutrition, everything else. Greg Lappin, we've reestablished a connection with Greg Lappin, the tournament director out there. We're talking about the over 65 team and the benefits of playing tennis if you can play a sport as you grow older. And to your point, and Dan Zeman echoes this, is because it's a mental game, you're exercising the brain at the same time that you're exercising the legs is a big part of it, correct?
Yes, it is. And you know, you don't have to be world class like these people at the tournament. You really can be just a typical club or recreational level player and get a lot of the same benefits. I mean, you really can. So I think anybody who's 50, 60, it's a great sport to start playing. And if they are more deconditioned, they can, you know, a big craze going around the country right now is a sport called pickleball.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I think it's great. You don't have to move as far. I mean, tennis, you're moving, 35 feet side to side, and it's, you know, 80 feet pretty much from the net to the baseline. So you're covering a lot of court. Pickleball, the court's, you know, one third that size. So if someone's even a little more deconditioned or just starting, I'd recommend starting or even staying with pickleball. It has a lot of the same advantages of tennis. It's booming across the country, but tennis, I think, is, you know, still the, you know, a great sport to play, a lot of fun and the best exercise you can do.
Yeah, and to an extent, the easier the sport, the more people you're going to attract. But when I watch pickleball, I don't see where you can get as good a workout.
No, you can't. The workout isn't as good. So, I mean, that's why if someone was maybe a little more deconditioned or just starting, it'd be a great starter sport. Maybe they'd stay with it. But tennis, yeah, covering a longer distance would definitely give you a much better workout. And even if you're, like you said, just a beginning or intermediate player, you still can get plenty of exercise. And what's fun about playing tennis or pickleball is the camaraderie. I mean, even in this tournament, some of these people have been playing national tournaments when they were 45 and 55 and now 65. They've known each other for 30 years. It's a real family when they come and play. They all go out to dinner at night and sit around and talk to each other, and they'll talk to each other, have lunch together, then go out there and play each other in a very competitive match and have a Coke or a beer afterwards. So it's great to see how people can be intensely competitive during the match, but really good friends before and after.
So is that almost by design, or does that happen organically? These guys just end up at the same places, or do you have like banquets and halls? Or what happens when they get to town?
When they get to town, we have several social events for them. So we have a party at the facility the first night, and there's one of the gentlemen and his wife who play in the tournament, John and Jan Wilcox. They open their house up, and the second night we all go out to their house and everyone socializes together for an evening, and that was last night. The party started at 6:30, and I heard the last people left at 11. So, I mean, they really do, and a lot of them bring their
I remember when 11 was early to leave, but yeah.
Yeah, when you're 65, 11's probably pushing it. Especially when you got to play at 9 in the morning. But when people get to this age and they've been competing for a long time, they really understand that in competition in its truest sense is just striving for excellence and doing the best you can with what you have. And you shake hands and your friends afterwards. That's what competition is really all about.
Yeah, and you got to get to be 65 before you really understand that, don't you?
Yeah, they do. And a lot of these guys, you know, at this age, you know, a lot of the male ego is gone.
Yeah.
Because someone could be extremely successful in business and not be as good on the court, but they're just as accepted. And because most everyone playing in this tournament's been successful in one way or another. And everyone's respected whether they lose in the first round or win the tournament. So it's a great group of guys. So,
what was are most of the players that play retired from their vocations, or do most of them still work?
I'd say about talking to all the guys, it's about half and half. So there are a lot of people who are still working. One fellow is a business consultant, and he came in and played the tournament, and he's going down to Rochester after the tournament's over to see a client. And he just tied the two together. And one fellow, it's fun, is the number one player in Canada, is playing in the tournament, and he's on his way to a business meeting in the East Coast, and you know, he timed this tournament as well. So some are still working a lot, and some are retired and can play 5 days a week, and they're pretty then they're tough for the tournament.
And one of them was original member of the Commodores, right?
Yes, we have William King here, who was a founding member of the Commodores and still is part of the band. So he just hangs out with the rest of the guys. No one shows necessarily any different or special attention. He's just one of the players. Huh. So it's fun to have him. He's real down to earth, very nice man.
And Greg, if people want to stop on by, is it go through the weekend?
Yeah, tomorrow the quarterfinals. We start at 9, and the doubles follows after. Friday morning, same thing. Semifinals at 9. The semifinals and doubles will go on about noon. And Saturday morning at, like you said, it's the old flagship club, now called Lifetime Eden Prairie. Finals are at 9 o'clock Saturday morning, followed by the doubles. And no admission fee. It's free. And they actually even have, I think they have great food. They could come out Saturday morning, watch the finals, and have breakfast while they're doing it.
Sounds good, Greg. Good to see you yesterday. And keep up the good work.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Greg Lappin, tournament director, over 65 national championships going on out at Lifetime Athletic Flagship, we used to call it the club. Interesting stuff. When we come back, Al Malmberg, he could be in that tournament this weekend. I'm not sure. Maybe he's playing in it now. Maybe I just didn't see him out there. There are so many people around. Maybe he's a participant in it. We'll find out when we come back. Welcome back, Sports to Max. 8:53 and change. Al Malmberg will hand the baton to here shortly. Al, I was just talking about this over 65 national tennis tournament. Are you not participating in that this year? Are you?
Oh, you are so funny.
Did you ever play tennis, Al?
Yeah, I did.
Did
in
you?
In fact, I really enjoyed tennis.
Yeah.
Used to play quite often. I mean, several days a week.
Oh, that much?
In my younger days, and thoroughly enjoyed.
You got to get that phone call?
You know, that's my studio line.
Yep.
That the phone, the only time it's ever used is when I do interviews.
Yep.
And so I know that when it rings, it's some salesperson.
You know, you're on a list somewhere and they got the number, huh?
Yeah, and they're going, he's going to pick it up one of these days. I know he's going to pick it up.
And they're wrong.
Or, you know, it's an IRS scammer, you know.
Yep.
Have you ever had them call you?
I get so many phone calls now on my cell phone that I just don't take any of them anymore because I don't know who sold these numbers that all of a sudden we're on these robocalls or whatever they are.
Yeah, you know, and a couple of months ago, or maybe several months ago, there was the do not call list that I put my cell phone on.
Uh-huh.
Didn't make any difference whatsoever. No.
If I get one more health insurance or whatever it is, you know, but now you just don't answer any of them.
I don't either, unless I know
the
number.
And then they get sophisticated and they try to do it with your own area code, you know?
Yes, and oftentimes your own prefix.
Yeah, exactly. Don't prejudice. Yeah, so I know they figured it out, but they're not going to get to me because I just won't answer any of them, right?
I've got to remember to put you in my my caller ID, so when you call, it says Maxie, so I don't ignore it.
What do you got coming up tonight, Al? We had quite a night here last night.
Boy, that was an interesting night. And it was,
well, see that with Tim Pawlenty and Johnson. Boy, I didn't see that race going like that.
You know, well, Johnson had the Republican endorsement, so maybe that's what it was. You know, I asked Blaise last night if he thought that Tim Pawlenty, you know, making a run for the White House and then getting out of it so fast, if that hurt him. And he didn't think so.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. I don't know. But it's going to be an interesting gubernatorial race. It certainly is.
Ooh, they're going to be spending some real money there, aren't they?
Boy, they are. Hopefully on our shows.
Hopefully on our shows. We don't mind them spending money as long as they're on our shows, right?
What did they say on WKRP in Cincinnati? We're talking Cordova.
Boy, that was a good show.
We've talked about it before,
but if you worked in radio, everybody has worked at the same station, so to speak, haven't they?
Worked with each one of those.
Each one of them, 10 times over.
Yep. I worked at a station where the news director did the morning news.
Yep.
And I can't tell you how many deer he hit on the way to work. I mean, it was a long running conversation, and that got to be very, very funny. You know, I mean, hit any deer today?
Yeah.
No, and it was like, wow.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, pre-dawn.
It was just part of the deal, right?
It was wooded, you know, a wooded area in Wisconsin, you know, in a rural area. And, I mean, it was funny. But he was just like Les Nessman.
Was he?
Oh, he was great.
And we've all met Herb Tarlick a few times over.
Oh, we've all worked with Herb Tarlick, the white belt, the white shoes, the plaid sport coat.
Not quite sure everything you said was true, but... Yes, right,
absolutely, yeah. And we've all at radio stations. We've all worked with Jennifer Marlowe.
Mm, yeah,
you know, I mean, I remember our receptionist at KRS IFM. She was just an absolute knockout. She was just gorgeous.
I bet you remember that. Hey, we got to go, Al, but I want you to share more of that story when I'm driving home tonight.
we'll attempt to. I'm all old. Right. I won't remember.
Al Malmberg coming up next on the one and the only Power of the Midwest. 830-WCCO.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.